Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Gavin Williams. Gavin looked good for a fair amount of that game until he didn't. And so the Guardians get another chance to take a win from the Rays tonight at Progressive Field. But the baseball races will go down to the wire. So follow all the news on 92.3 The Fan and the free Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how online at T-Mobile.com/switch. Nick Wilson, Spencer German, back on Afternoon Drive. It is a football Friday. We're going to talk a little Guardians here, though, but Jason Pinkston coming up in 20 minutes' time. And I will say yesterday's game was a little nondescript other than Gavin's continued struggles there, which I think yesterday was a step in the right direction, even though it still wasn't what you want, but yeah, it could still go for just a little bit better out of Gavin. That, like, the better he is, the better confident I am that they're going to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because we've talked about Gavin Williams being the next, you know, Shane Bieber of this rotation, like the next young guy coming through that's supposed to be the ace of the staff at some point. Let me ask you this, because we know that we kind of played this game last year with Tristan McKenzie, right? Like, we knew he had the elbow issue, and he played through it the best he could, ended up, you know, having his fair share of issues, came back this year, tried to do the same thing. But it's clear that, like, his elbow was a problem. I know that they said Gavin Williams' elbow injury was different than these other guys, like Shane Bieber, like McKenzie, who are dealing with the Tommy John-related stuff. But do you worry at all that, like, the because I feel like we can comfortably say, like, this has kind of been a regression year for him, because he was, I mean, again, it was considered his rookie season last year, although I don't know that he had enough service time to actually qualify for his rookie season. I don't remember if that actually bared itself out in the end. But, like, he looked like he was trending towards being that, and then this year he's taking the step back. Do you worry at all that we're seeing a similar situation where it's like the elbow problems at the beginning of the year and what that kind of means for him going forward?
I mean, I just think, until proven otherwise, I think he pitched hurt early in the season. I think he came back, and I just think it's really, really hard. Starting pitchers, especially young guys, are so used to just being able to go out there every 5 days that when you continuously disrupt that pattern, I think it's really hard to get right. And then when you have a team that, like, his struggles have coincided with the Guardian struggles, like, he was pretty good up until August, and it feels like the you know, inconsistent, sure, but it feels like we've had a lot more peaks and valleys.
He had, like, a good start and a bad start. Yeah. It was, like, kind of a mixed bag. But
it feels more like peaks and valleys right now.
Yeah.
He's going to give up six runs or he's going to give up no runs. And I think, so the long-winded way of saying, I don't think this has anything to do with injuries. I just don't think he's right. I think there's, we act as if everybody's 100%.
Right, right.
There's 100% physically, and then there's 100% mentally. And trying to get right and figuring out if you're tipping pitches in the midst of a pennant race, it's a lot of pressure for a guy who's really, I mean, what are we talking about? Start 30 of his career to this point?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So you almost feel like the best thing that'll happen for him will be, and again, I'm not trying to, like, rush the season ending or anything, but when the season ends, he gets a normal offseason and can just kind of come back with a clean slate next spring training and kind of get into it, and then we can kind of see where the things fall. I agree with you. Like, that's
or
a fair...
the postseason. I mean, we always have this idea, this image of guys going to the postseason. If they're struggling, the struggles continue. There are certain guys who just do better, and that the pressure of the playoffs help crystallize where they're at and helps them focus. I'm not saying that's Gavin, because we don't know. And in fairness, you don't really know about anybody until you've seen them at least once in a playoff setting. But, you know, it's interesting.
And even Bibee to an extent, right? Like, we haven't seen him.
You know, so Bibee's the opposite. All right, now I trust you in the regular season. He still had some consistency issues, but was it 166 strikeouts and 151 innings? So he's got swing and miss stuff.
Yeah.
So that plays well in the postseason. And so now it becomes, all right, you're the kind of guy who's supposed to be built for this. Right. Now we find the other half of the equation.
Let's face it. Like, if the playoffs started today, and even when they start in a couple weeks, and it looks like the Guardians are going to be in the playoffs, he's the first guy up. Like, he's the guy you're probably turning to start a playoff series.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
It depends if somebody else is healthy.
Who are you thinking of?
Alex Cobb, the guy who started multiple playoff games before. I know that's radical for everyone to hear yesterday when we talked about it.
I think I blocked him out of my mind because we know about the injury this week.
So. Oh, gosh. Blisters.
Not that I think he won't be back in the playoffs, but I think I was just thinking, like, well, hey, Bibee's the first guy up. I don't think that's, like, that far-fetched of an idea that he could. I still think they'd go with Bibee, but I could see where Cobb would fall in line.
Well, listen, between either guy, I don't think you have a wrong answer.
Yeah.
But I just think if you want steadiness, if you want the young guys to see how
game
it's done,
one,
like, all right, we're going to give you, and you wait to game two, he might have blisters again. Like, get that guy out there as soon as possible. Take those six innings if you can get him as soon as the series is possible. But, you know, it's interesting we're talking about this because we talked a bit about the rotation yesterday. And what has been interesting to see is the ebb and flow to Guardians fans and how they feel about the postseason coming off any series and any given win. And the thing that I liked about the previous nine games rather than 6-3 is they did it on the road. And I know they lost the series to the Dodgers. They won the two other series. So I do think that's a sign that you're pointed in the right direction. But if we're talking about the playoffs right now, I know that in August and in late July, the pendulum swung. They're not going to, even if they make the playoffs, they're not going to do a damn thing. Have the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, have they swung the pendulum in any way back the other direction that you're confident this team can not just make the playoffs, but make a deep run?
So the reason I think it maybe swung back the other direction a little bit isn't even so much about anything that the Guardians have done. It's more so just like a survey of the rest of baseball, both the NL and the AL, but obviously the AL most notably, because I don't know that, you know, I think I heard you guys talk about this earlier in the week. No team in the AL, and I don't think in the NL anymore either, it's possible. I guess the Phillies theoretically still could, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen because they only need like four more losses to get to 100 or to get to 62 losses. But anyway, I digress. I think as you look around the league and you look around the AL, I think all these teams have flaws. I mean, the Yankees are like two big bats in a good rotation, an okay bullpen. Guardians have an amazing bullpen. Rotation's very sketchy, and the lineup if they're having a good month, can be lights out, or they can, you don't really know what you're going to get from them on any given night.
So you're saying real quick that because, so your confidence is more based on the rest of the crowd.
Yeah, it's more so, like, I've dialed back being like, oh no, the sky is falling. The Guardians aren't the team that they were at the beginning of the season. And it's more so like,
did you give Lyman his apology? Because he was asking for it.
I did not give him his apology because that was more about the trade deadline, and I still have some feelings about that.
It's pretty wild that a guy that jumped on the bandwagon in late May is asking for an apology, and the guy who won a burger based on his Guardians confidence isn't. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, you know,
some of us have an ego.
Different folks, you know.
Some of us have an ego. I'm just living that Bay Village life, or Avon, one of those. And, you know.
I think it's Bay Village.
Yeah, goes to your head. Goes to your head.
Mm, the hoity-toities of Bay Village, you know.
But no, I mean, like, to me, the things that I needed to see when they were in the bleeper, the things that I needed to see were, I needed to see the rotation stabilized. Yeah. Check. And it doesn't look exactly like I thought it would because Cobb has made three starts and Gavin has been up and down. But, like, the bullpen is not a huge issue right now.
Yeah.
I need to see the rotation is not a huge issue. I needed to see the bullpen bounce back. They have. They still have three, even after losing, even after hitting craps on Barlow, he just completely fell apart. Even with Henches being out now for another 12 months, which is wild, and I hate that for that dude because that's a really good pitcher.
Yeah.
You still have four guys that you can put in high leverage situations, and you're going to have two extra pitchers that aren't in the starting rotation that you can throw in there, and maybe Cookie back as well.
As like an innings eater guy. Yeah. If a game gets out of hand or something, he can save your bullpen for the next day.
So the last remaining piece is, can we get a little bit more consistency from that offense? And it does start, like, I know Kwan had a hit last night. It starts with him hitting the way he's supposed to hit. And just basically just a little bit less disastrous at bats. They're so much better. The at bats right now are so much better than they were 4 weeks ago, but you can still see it. I saw it in that second game of the White Sox when you were up 5-0 with a bases juiced. I can't remember what inning it was. David Fry comes out with no outs, immediately hits into a double play. And then Hosey comes up, and because Fry had such a bad at-bat, Hosey was trying to swing everything into right field. And so we're still not to the balance. Yeah. So if I have one remaining thing that I need to see before they hit the postseason, before I'm really all in on you can be this year's Arizona or Texas, if I've got one thing, it is I just need to see that continued recalibration of are you guys swinging away when you should swing away? And are you just taking the layup that's there when you're not?
It's kind of funny, too, because at the beginning of the season, the lineup was actually the strength of this team. And so you talk about, like, pendulums. It's funny that the pendulums kind of swung back the other way in that regard, where the thing that I think fans going into the season were the most worried about was, well, what are you going to get from this lineup? They didn't really add much. Everybody was upset about that. And the lineup was lights out, you know, hitting the cover off the ball early in the season. And then they've kind of come back down to earth. But yeah, I think you're like, if that group gets it going, and that's kind of what I said, like, maybe by the postseason, they're in a stretch where they're all kind of in sync and they're playing a lot better. And, you know, you're passing the baton down the line and they're able to do that. And that's why, again, back to my point on, like, I survey the rest of the AL. I don't know that I feel like any of these teams are so, so good that the Guardians can't beat them in a series if the lineup turns back around a little bit and is playing better. And if the rotation can at least give you what they've given you late in the season, because if you get 5-6 innings out of those guys and you turn it over to this bullpen, that's the one thing we know we can fully trust. They will close out games for you. And that's a dangerous thing to have in the postseason.
216-474-0092. Has your confidence in the Guardians' ability to make a postseason run, has it swung back? Are you more confident now after the last couple of weeks of baseball? And if you're just joining us, Spencer dogged Asdrubal Cabrera when he first walked in. We were talking, great conversation about Deshaun Watson, some of the best conversations we've ever had. And he immediately sees somebody who had an Asdrubal shirt on and just dogs him and asks, is he more popular than Jason Kipnis? So real quick, because we got to do the quick fire. Who had a higher career war, Jason Kipnis or Asdrubal Cabrera?
Well, considering that you're asking me the question, I'm going to assume that it was Asdrubal Cabrera.
All right, what about a higher career batting average?
Probably Asdrubal Cabrera.
More home runs.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Kipnis.
That'd be Asdrubal Cabrera. More Silver Sluggers.
Okay, he got one more. Wait, did he only win one?
No, he won one more.
One more.
That's all you need to know. So I believe okay. The stats say you've been clowned.
But again, I didn't say that Jason Kipnis was necessarily the better of the two players in his career. I said he was the more popular of the two players.
You talked about Asdrubal Cabrera like he was.
I said he was a semi-popular player. That's all I said.
You could say that about 97% of baseball players.
I think there was more popular players on the teams that Asdrubal played for than him.
That Scott Ellerton was a semi-popular player there. That Andy Marte was a semi-popular. No, he was not. Kelly Shopik was a semi-popular player. Might have to talk about just about anything other than football today, but it's Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman. What's up, buddy?
How are you guys, man? Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Jason.
Was not a happy Monday, and certainly been a happy day since. I'm just vibe check for me. How are we feeling about where the Browns are and where Deshaun is?
It's been a rough week, and I'm very glad we have another opportunity to step back out on the field and make things right. A win changes everything, and the vibes were definitely low this week here in Pittsburgh. For myself, you know, I was getting it from all angles. My family is attacking me. You know, all the kids I'm coaching are attacking me. So, you know, I walked around with my head down pretty low this week. But, it's another opportunity for us to get better and take a step forward, hopefully in the right direction.
Jason, we know how long of a leash, I guess, the organization is going to give Deshaun because they're invested in him with the contract and all that. But how long of a leash do you think Deshaun has in the eyes of fans and people who support this team and watch this team to prove that he can still be that quarterback?
I hate to say this, but I don't think the leash is very long with the fans. You know, with everything that's going on, all the allegations that happened in the past, the new allegations that were just brought up this week. I think fans are really upset. And, you know, rightfully so, that obviously he's not playing well right now. And now it was week one. I really didn't expect him to go back out there and be in mid-season form and throw the ball around there. You know, there were some struggles, and I don't think it was all his fault. That game, there was, you know, we were under duress a lot there. You know, the Cowboys have a fantastic defense, and they were ultra-aggressive. You know, they were getting home. I think, you know, me and Keith were talking over the weekend. I think there was something like 23 pressures. You know, that's tough. You know, hopefully we can go out there and we can kind of change the narrative that we have right now. There's obviously a bad taste in our mouth as fans, and I'm sure those players are, you know, they want to get that bad taste out of their mouth as well. So, you know, hopefully we're looking better and we're going to move forward and take a step this week.
Jason, as a follow-up to that, I know, like, it's easy for players to give the cliche of, you know, we hear it all the time. Once you're in between the lines, once you're in this building, we block all that other stuff out, and it's about football. And obviously, you're a former player yourself. I'm sure there was maybe not quite as similar situations that Deshaun's going through, but situations that would come up, and you guys as a team tried to kind of rally around that player and not pay attention to that stuff. How difficult, though, is that to actually block out in reality? Because I think it's fine that the players say that, but the difference between, like, saying it and actually being able to block all that out and not become a distraction, I think, are two different things.
You're spot on, man. Listen, you can say what you want to say. When you're in that building, we block off the noise. We ignore it. It's something that you can't ignore, okay? You know, whether it be social media, your family, other teammates, trust me, the noise is loud. They hear it. You try to ignore it. You try to you give the like to say, we used to say the corporate answer. You know, we're ignoring the noise and we're focused on us. But at the end of the day, we're all human, and you hear it, and it's loud. And there's, you know, any player that steps to that microphone pregame or after the game that speaks and talks, they're going to say what they need to say and do things the right way. That's what you're taught from high school to college to the professional league. And then they're going to always, in most cases, say the right thing, you know, but trust me, it's being talked about. They're not going to say it's being talked about, but it's being talked about. Absolutely.
Jason.
I knew it was going to happen.
Jason Pixton, the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I remembered you had to turn on your microphone to ask somebody a question. Only been in the business 20 years. Jason, as we look to what can go right this weekend, obviously when it comes to Deshaun, there wasn't a lot of things you can point to, whether it's passing, running, his movement in the pocket, his comfortability, his confidence. What's the first step? What's the first thing you're going to be looking for on Sunday to see if Deshaun has taken a leap or that Deshaun is in a better situation going into this game?
Just to get him in rhythm with the receivers, you know, there were some balls that were left out there. I thought he could have threw a better ball. Commanding the offense and just moving the ball up the field, which I think we can do. Now, I don't want to harp on it. The Cowboys have a fantastic defense. I don't think the Jaguars' defense is as good as the Cowboys' defense, but I think he should be able to, with another week of practice. And obviously, we got some live action last week for them to get on, you know, to get on the same page, to make the right throw. I thought he did a decent job in the pocket when he was able to stand in the pocket, and I thought he used his legs well, and he scrambled and he made some nice runs there for us. But I just want to see the timing. You know, it seems to me that Coach Stefanski's offense and his routes and off the play action, it's more of a timing and rhythm. I want to see a better rhythm out of him this weekend.
Speaking of the offense, Jason, we saw so much go wrong on that side of the ball in particular in week one. And we were kind of talking about this at the top of the show, but how difficult, because I understand, like, week one, you don't know what to expect. It's kind of an extension of the preseason these days. Not a lot of guys got reps together. So that's fine that it's going to take some ironing out. But with so much that went wrong, how difficult is it, you think, to have to fix all the things that went wrong in week one? Or is it going to kind of be baby steps where there's only a few things that might look better in week two?
I don't think it's going to be baby steps. I think there's going to, you know, they're absolutely going to take some steps here. But, you know, as a whole, you know, you're right. You know, the first game, you know, none of the starters really played preseason, and you don't get those, you don't get the live action reps that you need. And when you don't play in the preseason, that's what happens. And now we're, you know, our week one, it was our first time having all of our starters together, and the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense, right? You know, going into it, because they can just pin their ear back and play football. But for an offense, you know, we have to be better as an offensive line one up front. You know, we're banged up. We had some backups in there, and, you know, I didn't think we played that well up front, you know, and I think those guys will get better, obviously, and as we get healthier and we get the right guys back in the lineup, we'll be much better, and I think that'll be a big step in the right direction. But we just got to get back to being ourselves and who we were last year a bit. You know, I think I mentioned this last week that we got to, you know, really kind of trying to find our identity, what type of team we're going to be, you know, whether it's running the ball, you know, 30 times or we're passing the ball 40 times. But we need to find our identity.
Pink, the big story last night coming out of Thursday Night Football, other than the fact the Bills are back, I think we can say the Bills are back. That was one-sided, was Tua's latest concussion. And I'm just curious, like, because I think there's this huge march of he should retire, which I think is easy for somebody that doesn't have $266 million in the future to say that he should do. But as a player, when you have those injuries, I know you had blood clots. Like, what goes into that decision, and you know, how much is that on the player, and how much does the player hear from teammates and family members about that decision?
I mean, it's on the player, you know, and I look back on my situation that I had, and obviously the Browns took care of me, and, you know, and I there is some regret that I had that, you know, I didn't give it one more shot. And his situation, man, I think you hit it right on the head. It all comes down to the player and what he wants to be and where he sees his future. And obviously he has a ginormous contract to play for. And I think as a competitor, I think he's going to give it another shot. Obviously, I don't think he's going to retire. It's very concerning for him, you know, with the concussions he's had last year, now going into this year, having another one. I think it's going to be something that they're really going to monitor. I don't think that they're going to, by no means is he going to play, you know, next week or maybe possibly the following week. I think they're going to be extremely cautious with this one. You know, I also remember, you know, Sidney Crosby having a similar situation where he was dealing with concussions really, really bad. And, you know, he missed an extended period of time, but he came back to play and did very well. And I think he will recover from this, because I think they're going to be extremely cautious with him, knowing that he's had a history of these type of concussions.
So with that being said, I've been kind of kicking around this idea that I think a lot of the noise on this Tua decision is that these all three concussions happened on the national stage. Do you think if they weren't nationally televised, if they were just a regular 1 o'clock game that 25% of the country saw, do you think that the certainty that he should retire would be the same amount? We got about 30 seconds on that.
I think that does add some, you know, not excitement to it, but there's some more exposure because there's more people watching. It's the only game. Had this game probably not been on TV, it wouldn't have been a big headline as it is. I think it would have been said, you know, Tua has another concussion. He's, you know, possibly out. I do think that plays some part to it, yeah.
All right, Pink, now we got about 15 seconds. Give me a prediction for Sunday, buddy.
It's going to be a tough game, but I do like the Browns 24-17 in the win. Obviously, I'm extremely biased, and I'm pulling for our guys on our team. But I think, you know, our defense plays better than what they did. And I think our offense kind of puts it together a little bit, and we take some steps in the right direction. And I think Deshaun will be better for us.
Pink, you're the best, buddy. Enjoy the game. Hopefully it's a win, but we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy your weekend, man.
You Thank too. You so much. Appreciate you too, buddy. Jason Pinkston on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.